We are obviously in Lent. And the question that I want to ask today, I probably ask this a couple times a year for folks. I just think it's so absolutely key to our Christian walk. And the question is, are you listening to God? It's a matter of us, it's very important. I mean, I don't know if you believe or don't believe in the ability to hear God speak to you. Please tell me that you do. If you don't, see me after and I will talk to you, because it is so essential to hear His voice. It's something that you learn to do. Jesus said that my people know my voice. And that's something that only can be done, in my humble opinion, through practice. And actually through trial and error. We had a pastor at Ann Arbor Vineyard who used to say that anything done, anything worth doing can be done wrong. And the reason he said it that way was that he wanted us to have the ability to learn, to make mistakes. So hearing God, hearing His voice in our life is a process. And there are considerable amount of principles that we can learn more and more, but the real key is just learning when it is God speaking to us and when it's not. I believe, and I count on the fact that I have brothers and sisters who help me to discern God's voice in my life. Some of them do it a little more strongly than others, but it's important. It is really important. This is not a new thing. I want to read to you a story from the Old Testament. This is 3,500 years ago. So these things, I mean, there's a Ecclesiastes, it's a proverb that says there's nothing new under the sun. And unfortunately, that's really true. The background of this story is back in Moses' time. And in fact, I'm taking it right out of the chapter in which Moses is standing before the people of Israel, and he is reading the Ten Commandments. And he just finishes reading the Ten Commandments, and that's where I pick up the scripture. So let's take it from there. So you know the background. He's speaking to all of the Israelites. I don't know what kind of PA system they had back then, but pretty cool. But anyway, here's what he says. He says, "When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.' Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning.' The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell the Israelites this: you have seen for yourself what I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make other gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourself gods of silver or gold or gods of gold. Make the altar of earth for me and sacrifice it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and your goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to an altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it.'" Boy, the last part, you're reading it, you're going, I wonder if everyone had to take notes to get every one of those little do this, don't do that, and that kind of thing. But actually, out of this, I think the key verse goes from back at the last slide. And it says this. It says, "They said to Moses, 'Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die.'" they did not want to hear God directly. They wanted somebody to tell them what God's saying. They wanted a pastor or a worship leader or somebody else to tell them, this is what God's saying to you. They didn't want to just hear it for themselves. And why? Because they were afraid they were going to die. What do they mean by that? Well, I was reading out of a devotional by Oswald Chambers, and he says, we don't consciously and deliberately disobey God. I mean, we wouldn't do that. We know that that causes us trouble. We simply don't listen to him. God has given his commandments to us, but we pay no attention to them, not because of the willful disobedience, but because we do not truly love and respect him. This is Jesus speaking, if you love me, keep my commandments. Once we realize that we have constantly been showing disrespect to God, we'll be filled with shame and humiliation for ignoring him. Now, Mr. Chambers is trying to speak in very strong languages, but this is not condemnation. This is, hey, folks, look out. I want to let you know that if you are not seeking God, if you can't hear what he has to say, boy, you're driving blindly. I actually had a dream a week or so ago, and I woke up startled because I was driving a car, but my headlights were out and it was jet black. There was no light. And I'm just driving and I'm going, oh my gosh. It was scary. I mean, like I said, it actually woke me up. That's what we're doing when we don't listen to God, when we don't try and seek him to hear what he has to say to us. We are just driving blindly in our life. You might ask, how does God speak to us? Let me give you three general ways. These are quite broad, but first of all is the Word of God. And I want to say primarily that's the Scriptures. It's what the Bible is saying to us. Now, there's whole kinds of levels, and I do have another sermon that I give periodically on the differences between the Logos, the never-changing Word of God, and the Rhema, the what is God saying to me today kind of thing, and so forth. But the Word of God is so important. As a matter of fact, I wanted to share with you, there's a couple ways you can do this. And you can think about it in Lent, is you get out one of these things that's called a Bible. And this is actually called a large print edition Bible, which I don't know why they do that. But and so this morning I was praying and I said, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? And I just had sometimes you can just go, I wouldn't rely on that one 100% by any means, but actually if you're not going to do anything, that's as good as anything, but just really ask God. And so I found Hebrews 10. It says, remember those early days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. I remember it was 41 years ago that I came to Christ, and all hell had broken loose in my life. And my then wife, not Paula, was in the mental ward at the hospital. And I had two babies at home, and life was interesting. It was not boring at all. Oh, and I was out of work. Just interviewing and just getting a job at that another job. Mike knows, engineers. You go from job to, anyway. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I read that this morning, and it was really something I needed to hear. And God could really speak to me by me coming to the scriptures, hearing number one there, the word of God, and doing what God says. If you notice my Bible, and I actually am not doing this right now, I was looking at this and thinking I should, but see all the little pretty color ribbons? Well, I have a little program that I could share if anybody's interested, and it allows me to read through the Bible in a year. And it starts one day, I mean, I think there should be seven ribbons here. One day it is in the Old Testament, the next day it's in the next part of the Old Testament, and so forth, all the way through the New. So that every week you're reading part of the Bible all the way through. These are not bad at all. It's amazing how this can follow your life. Or there's a slight possibility your life is following these things. But anyway, I would suggest if you don't get into the Word of God much, reading the Bible much, to do that. The other thing is get a good modern translation. I mean, some of you might really love King James, and that's okay. I mean, again, if you really like Shakespeare, King James is easy to read. But I'm not so smart at that kind of thing. So, second thing is circumstances, which I'm going to talk about a little bit here. And then the third, which we talked a lot about, is that still small voice, which is essentially saying, shut up and listen. Quiet yourself down. You cannot hear the still small voice of God while you are going 90 miles an hour and doing 16 things. Multitasking and the still small voice don't go together at all. They don't. So, many times we're in a place where we want to hear the voice of God, but we're really not in a nice, comfortable place to do that. I mean, God is calling us to speak out His word. Matthew 10 speaks to us. Whoops, I'm sorry, I skipped one little piece. Which is one of the ways in which we really know that God is speaking to us is when all three of those things converge. I'm sorry, missed that. The word of God, circumstances, and that small, still voice. And I'll add a fourth one I didn't mention here, which is you have peace about things. When you have peace, God may tell you to do something really hard, really tough. But if you have peace about it, you know you can do it. You can be called to do that. All right, now let me get to Matthew 10. This is interesting. I thought it was. So, do not be afraid of them. This is people who give you a hard time. There's nothing concealed that now will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul, body, and hell. Are not two sparrows, is this all on here? Well, anyway, I'll read it. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. God is going to put us on a rooftop where we can speak His word, where we can shout to the rooftops. He's calling us to speak out, to pray out, to shout. But that may not be where we start. Oftentimes, we're not so much on a rooftop and more in a valley. We're in a place that feels really tough. I was reading out of Psalms 9, and it says, we will judge the world in righteousness. We will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim above the nations what He has done. For he who avenges blood remembers. He does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. O Lord, see how many enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion, there and there rejoice in your salvation. Isaiah was in a really tough place. He was in a place he wasn't shouting from the mountaintops. He was down in a valley. The people of Israel had been taken away from their home country by exile and dragged us into slavery and into Babylon. And he was supposed to be speaking God's word to them. And yet he didn't really feel like it. Sometimes God puts us through experience and discipline of darkness to teach us to hear and obey him. Let me try some more. From Isaiah 49. I'm sorry, the first one was actually, well, that's okay. Isaiah 49. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away, and he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. We have spoken many times about how God's people have lamented to him. And it's generally, life sucks, but we trust in you, God. That's pretty much the lamentation prayer. You can expand that first part quite a bit to describe your life. But it's interesting. Whatever I tell you in the dark is the first scripture. Pay attention when God puts you into darkness and keeps your mouth and keep your mouth closed while you're there. You are in the dark right now in your circumstances or in your life with God. Are you? If so, then remain quiet. If you open your mouth in the dark, you will speak while in the wrong mode. Darkness is the time to listen. Don't talk to other people about it. Don't read books to find out the reason for the darkness. Just listen and obey. So prayer is when you talk to God. Meditation is when you become quiet and listen to God. When we're in the dark times, when we're in the times when things are really hard in our life, it's the time when we need to be quiet, be still before God, and listen. If you talk to other people, you cannot hear what God is saying. Now, this is actually a quote, another quote from Oswald Chambers. Put it in the right balance. We need to be getting discernment from other people, but not completely direction. When you're in the dark, listen, and God will give you very precious message for someone else once you are back in the light. After every time of darkness, we should experience a mixture of delight and human humiliation. If there is only delight, I question whether we really heard God at all. We should experience delight for having heard God speak, but mostly humiliation for having taken so long to hear him. Then we'll exclaim, how slow I have been to listen and understand what God has been telling me. He gives you the gift of humiliation for days and even weeks, but once you hear him, he gives you the gift of humiliation, which brings a softness of heart, a gift that will cause you to listen to God now. We want to open our hearts to God. This kind of thing comes in seasons. We have seasons where we have really great times. Sometimes we feel like they're pretty short seasons. And we have seasons where things are really, really hard. We don't see the way out. But that's what God's calling us to. We're in a season of Lent. So if you're struggling and going through a hard time in your life right now, where does that fit well with coming up towards Easter? because God is really calling us to seek Him in this time.